A fruitful letter to the City of London. To all that profess the gospel and true doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the City of London, John Bradford, a most unworthy servant of the Lord, now not only in prison, but also excommunicated and condemned, to be burned for the same true doctrine, wishes mercy, grace, and peace, with increase of all godly knowledge and piety from God the Father of mercy, through the merits of our alone and omnisufficient Redeemer, Jesus Christ, by the operation of the Holy Spirit, forever. Amen. My dearly beloved brethren in our Savior Christ, although the time I have to live is very little, for hourly I look when I should be had hence, to be conveyed into Lancashire, there to be burned, and to render my life by the providence of God, where I first received it by the same providence. And although the charge is great to keep me from all things whereby I might signify anything to the world of my state, yet having, as now I have, pen and ink, through God's working, Maugre, the head of Satan and his soldiers, I thought good to write a short confession of my faith, and thereto join a little exhortation unto you all, to live according to your profession. First, for my faith, I do confess and pray all the whole congregation of Christ to bear witness with me of the same, that I believe constantly through the gift and goodness of God, for faith is God's only gift, all the 12 articles of the symbol or creed commonly attributed to the collection of the apostles. This my faith I would gladly particularly declare and expound to the confirmation and comfort of the simple. But alas, by starts and stealth, I write in manner that I write, and therefore I shall desire you all to take this brevity in good part. And this faith I hold, not because of the creed itself, but because of the word of God, which teacheth and confirmeth every article accordingly. This word of God, written by the prophets and apostles, left and contained in the canonical books of the whole Bible, I do believe to contain plentifully all things necessary to salvation, so that nothing, as necessary to salvation, ought to be added thereto. And therefore the Church of Christ, nor none of his congregation, ought to be burdened with any other doctrine than what, hereout, hath its foundation and ground. In testimony of this faith, I render and give my life, being condemned as well for not acknowledging the Antichrist of Rome to be Christ Vicar General and supreme head of his Catholic and Universal Church, here or elsewhere upon earth, as for denying the horrible and idolatrous doctrine of transubstantiation and Christ's real corporal and carnal presence in his supper, under the forms and accidents of bread and wine. To believe Christ our Savior to be the head of his church, and kings in their realms to be the supreme powers, to whom every soul oweth obedience, and to believe that in the supper of Christ, which the sacrament of the altar, as the papists call it, and use it, doth utterly overthrow, is a true and very presence of whole Christ, God and man, to the faith of the receiver, but not to the stander-by and looker-upon, as it is a true and very presence of bread and wine to the senses of men. To believe this, I say, will not serve, and therefore as a heretic I am condemned, and shall be burned. Whereof I ask God heartily mercy, that I do no more rejoice than I do, having so great cause, as to be an instrument wherein it may please my dear Lord and Savior to suffer. For albeit my manifold sins, even since I came into prison, have deserved at the hands of God not only this temporal, but also eternal fire in hell, much more than my former sinful life, which the Lord pardoned for his Christ's sake, as I know he of his mercy hath done, and never will lay mine iniquities to my charge, to condemnation so great is his goodness. Praised therefore be his holy name. Although I say my manifold and grievous late sins have deserved most justly all the tyranny that man or devil can do unto me, and therefore I confess that the Lord is just, and that his judgments be true and deserved on my behalf. Yet the bishops and prelates do not persecute them in me, but Christ himself, his word, his truth, and religion. And therefore I have great cause, yea, most great cause, to rejoice that ever I was born, and hitherto kept of the Lord, that by my death, which is deserved for my sins, it pleaseth the heavenly Father to glorify his name, to testify his truth, to confirm his verity, to repugn his adversaries. O good God and merciful Father, forgive my great unthankfulness, especially herein. And you, my dearly beloved, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, I humbly and heartily, in his bowels and blood, do now, for my last veil and farewell in this present life, beseech you, and every of you, that you will consider this work of the Lord accordingly. First by me, be admonished to beware of hypocrisy and carnal security. Profess not the gospel with tongue and lips only, but in heart and verity. Frame and fashion your lives accordingly. Beware God's name, be not evil spoken of, and the gospel less regarded by your conversation. God forgive me that I have not so heartily professed it as I should have done, but have sought much myself therein. The gospel is a new doctrine to the old man. It is new wine, and therefore cannot be put in old bottles, without more great hurt than good to the bottles. If we will talk with the Lord, we must put off our shoes and carnal affections. If we will hear the voice of the Lord, we must wash our garments and be holy. If we will be Christ's disciples, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Christ. We cannot serve two masters. If we seek Christ's kingdom, we must seek also for the righteousness thereof. To this petition, let thy kingdom come, we must join. Thy will be done, done on earth as it is in heaven. If we will not be doers of the word, but hearers of it only, we sore deceive ourselves. If we hear the gospel and love it not, we declare ourselves to be but fools and builders upon the sand. The Lord's Spirit hateth feigning, deceitfulness the Lord abhorreth. If we come to him, we must beware that we come not with a double heart. For then may chance that God will answer us according to the block which is in our heart, and so we shall deceive ourselves and others. To faith, see that we couple a good conscience, lest we make a shipwreck. To the Lord we must come with fear and reverence. If we will be gospelers, we must be Christ's. If we be Christ's, we must crucify our flesh with the lusts and concupiscences thereof. If we will be under grace, sin must not bear rule in us. We may not come to the Lord and draw nigh to him with our lips and leave our hearts elsewhere, lest the Lord's wrath wax hot and he take from us the good remaining. In no case can the kingdom of Christ approach to them that repent not. Therefore, my dearly beloved, let us repent and be heartily sorry that we have so carnally, so hypocritically, so covetously, so vaingloriously professed the gospel. For all these I confess myself to the glory of God, that he may cover mine offenses in the day of judgment. Let the anger and plagues of God, most justly fallen upon us, be applied to every one of our deserts, that from the bottom of our hearts every of us may say, it is I, Lord, that have sinned against thee. It is my hypocrisy, my vainglory, my covetousness, uncleanness, carnality, security, idleness, unthankfulness, self-love, and the like, which have deserved the taking away of our good King, of thy word and true religion, of thy good ministers by exile, imprisonment, and death. It is my wickedness that causeth success and increase of authority and peace to thine enemies. O be merciful unto us. Turn to us again, O Lord of hosts, and turn us unto thee. Correct us, but not in thy fury, lest we be consumed in thine anger. Chastise us not in thy wrathful displeasure. Reprove us not, but in the midst of thine anger, remember thy mercy. For if thou mark what is done amiss, who shall be able to abide it? But with thee is mercifulness, that thou mightest be worshipped. O then be merciful unto us, that we might truly worship thee. Help us for the glory of thy name. Be merciful unto our sins, for they are great. O heal us and help us for thine honor. Let not the wicked people say, where is their God, etc. On this sort, my right dearly beloved, let us heartily bewail our sins, repent us of our former evil life, heartily and earnestly propose to amend our lives in all things, continually watch in prayer, diligently and reverently attend, hear, and read the Holy Scriptures. Labor after our vocation to amend our brethren. Let us reprove the works of darkness. Let us fly from all idolatry. Let us abhor the anti-Christian and Romish rotten service. Detest the Popish Mass. Abrenounce the Romish God, prepare ourselves to the cross, be obedient to all that are in authority in all things that be not against God and his word. For then, answer with the apostles, it is more meet to obey God than man. Howbeit, never for anything resist or rise against the magistrates. Avenge not yourselves, but commit your cause to the Lord, to whom vengeance pertaineth, and he in his time will reward it. if you feel in yourselves a hope and trust in God that he will never tempt you above that he will make you able to bear, be assured that the Lord will be true to you, and you shall be able to bear all brunts. But if you want this hope, fly and get you hence, rather than by your tarrying God's name should be dishonored. A letter to the university and town of Cambridge. In sum, cast your care on the Lord, knowing for most certain that he is careful for you. With him all the hairs of your head are numbered, so that not one of them shall perish without his good pleasure and will. Much more then, nothing shall happen to your bodies, which shall not be profitable, howsoever for a time it seem otherwise to your senses. Hang on the providence of God, not only when you have means to help you, but also when you have no means, yea, when all means be against you. Give him this honor, which of all other things he most chiefly requireth at your hands, namely, believe that you are his children through Christ, that he is your Father, and God through him, that he loveth you, pardoneth you all your offenses, that he is with you in trouble, and will be with you forever. When you fall, he will put under his hand, you shall not lie still. Before you call upon him, he heareth you. Out of evil, he will finally bring you and deliver you to his eternal joy. Doubt not, my dearly beloved, hereof. Doubt not, I say, this will God your Father do for you, not in respect of yourselves, but in respect of Christ, your captain, your pastor, your keeper, out of whose hands none shall be able to catch you. In him be quiet, and often consider your dignity, namely, how that ye be God's children, the saints of God, citizens of heaven, temples of the Holy Ghost, the thrones of God, members of Christ, and Lord over all. Therefore be ashamed to think, speak, or do anything that should be unseemly for God's children, God's saints, Christ's members, etc. Marvel not through the devil and the world, marvel not though the devil and the world hate you, though ye be persecuted here, for the servant is not above his master. Covet not earthly riches, fear not the power of man, love not this world, nor things that be in this world, but long for the Lord Jesus' coming, at which time your bodies shall be made like unto his glorious body. When he appeareth you, you shall be like unto him. When your life shall thus be revealed, then shall ye appear with him in glory. In the mean season, live in hope thereof. Let the life you lead be in the faith of the Son of God. For the just doth live by faith, which faith flieth from all evil, and followeth the word of God as a lantern to her feet and a light to her steps. Her eyes be above, where Christ is. She beholdeth not the things present, but rather things to come. She glorieth in affliction. She knoweth that the afflictions of this life are not like to be compared to the glory which God will reveal to us and in us. Of this glory God grant us here a lively taste. Then shall we run after the scent it sendeth forth. It will make us valiant men to take us to the kingdom of God, whither the Lord of mercy bring us in this good time, through Christ our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Ghost, three persons and one God, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. My dearly beloved, I would gladly have given here my body to have been burned for the confirmation of the true doctrine I have taught here unto you, but that my country must have. Therefore, I pray you take in good part this signification of my good will towards every one of you. Impute the want herein to time and trouble. Pardon me mine offensive and negligent behavior when I was amongst you. With me repent and labor to amend. Continue in the truth, which I have truly taught unto you by preaching in all places where I have come. God's name therefore be praised. Confess Christ when you be called, whatsoever cometh thereof, and the God of peace be with us all. Amen. This 11th of February, 1555. Your brother in bonds for the Lord's sake, John Bradford. A letter to the University and Town of Cambridge. To all that love the Lord Jesus and his true doctrine, being in the University and Town of Cambridge, John Bradford, a most unworthy servant of the Lord, now not only prisoned, but also condemned for the same true doctrine, wisheth grace, peace, and mercy with increase of all godliness from God the Father of all mercy, through the bloody passion of our lonely Savior, Jesus Christ, by the lively working of the Holy Spirit forever. Amen. Although I look hourly when I should be had to the stake, my right dearly beloved in the Lord. And although the charge over me is great and strait, yet, having by the providence of God secretly pen and ink, I could not but something signify unto you my solicitude, which I have for you and every of you in the Lord, though not as I would, yet as I may. You have often and openly heard the truth, especially in this matter wherein I am condemned, disputed and preached, that it is needless to do any more, but only to put you in remembrance of the same. But hitherto have you not heard it confirmed, and as it were sealed up. And now you do and shall hear by me, that is, by my death and burning. For albeit I have deserved, through my uncleanness, hypocrisy, avarice, vainglory, idleness, unthankfulness, and carnality, whereof I accuse myself, to my confusion before the world, that before God, through Christ, I might, as my assured hope is, I shall find mercy. Eternal death and hellfire, much more than this affliction and fire prepared for me. Yet, my dearly beloved, it is not these, or any of these things, wherefore the prelates do persecute me, but God's verity and truth, yea, even Christ himself, is the only cause and thing whereof I am now condemned, and shall be burned as a heretic, because I will not grant the Antichrist of Rome to be Christ Vicar General and Supreme Head of his Church here and everywhere upon earth by God's ordinance, and because I will not grant such corporal, real, and carnal presence of Christ's body and blood in the sacrament, as doth transubstantiate the substance of bread and wine, and is received of the wicked, yea, of dogs and mice. Also I am excommunicated, and counted as a dead member of Christ's Church, as a rotten branch, and therefore shall be cast into the fire. Therefore ye ought heartily to rejoice with me, and to give thanks for me, that God the Eternal Father hath vouchsafed our mother to bring up any child in whom it would please him to magnify his holy name as he doth, and I hope for his mercy and truth's sake will do in me and by me. Oh, what such benefit upon earth can it be, as that I, which deserved death by reason of my sins, should be delivered to a demonstration, a testification, and confirmation of God's verity and truth? Thou, my mother, the university, hast not only had the truth of God's word plainly manifested unto thee by reading, disputing, and preaching publicly and privately, but now to make thee altogether excuseless, and, as it were, almost to sin against the Holy Ghost, if thou put to thy helping hand with the Romish rout to suppress the verity, and set out the contrary, thou hast my life and blood as a seal to confirm thee, if thou wilt be confirmed, or else to confound thee, and bear witness against thee, if thou wilt take part with the prelates and clergy which now fill up the measure of their fathers, which slew the prophets and apostles, that all the righteous blood from Abel to Bradford shed upon the earth may be required at their hands. Of this, therefore, I thought good before my death, as time and liberty would suffer me, for love and duty I bear unto thee, to admonish thee, good mother and my sister the town, that you would call to mind from whence you are fallen, and study to do the first works. You know, if you will, these matters of Romish supremacy, and the anti-Christian transubstantiation whereby Christ's supper is overthrown, his priesthood evacuate, his sacrifice frustrate, the ministry of his word unplaced, repentance repelled, faith fainted, godliness extinguished, the mass maintained, idolatry supported, and all impiety cherished. You know, I say, if you will, that these opinions are not only beside God's word, but even directly against it, and therefore to take part with them is to take part against God, against whom you cannot prevail. Therefore, for the tender mercy of Christ, in his bowels and blood, I beseech you to take Christ's collyrium and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see what you do and have done in admitting, as I hear you have admitted, yea, alas, authorized and by consent confirmed, the Romish rotten rags, which once you utterly expelled. Oh, be not canis reversus ad vomitum, be not sus lota reversa ad volitabrum sani. Beware lest that Satan enter in with seven other spirits, and then postrema shall be the worse than the first. It had been better ye that had never known the truth, then after knowledge to run from it. Ah, woe to this world and the things therein which have now so wrought with you. Oh, that ever this dirt of the devil should daub up the eye of the realm. For thou, O mother, art as the eye of the realm. If thou be light and give shine, all the body shall fare the better. But if thou the light be darkness, alas, how great will the darkness be? What is man whose breath is in his nostrils, that thou shouldst be afraid of him. Oh, what is honor and life here? Bubbles. What is glory in this world but shame? Why art thou afraid to carry Christ's cross? Wilt thou come into his kingdom and not drink of his cups? Dost thou not know Rome to be Babylon? Dost thou not know that as the old Babylon had the children of Judah in captivity, so hath this Rome the true Judah, that is, the confessors of Christ? Dost thou not know that as the destruction happened unto it, so shall it do unto this? And trowest thou that God will not deliver his people now, when the time is come, as he did then? Hath not God commanded his people to come out of her, and wilt thou give ensample to the whole realm to run unto her? Hast thou forgotten the woe that Christ threatened to offense givers? Wilt thou not remember that it were better that a millstone were hanged about thy neck, and thou thrown into the sea, than thou shouldst offend the little ones? And alas, how hast thou offended? Yea, and how dost thou still offend? Wilt thou consider things according to the outward show? Was not the synagogue more seemly and like to be the true church than the simple flock of Christ's disciples? Hath not the whore of Babylon more costly array and rich apparel externally to set forth herself than the homely housewife of Christ? Where is the beauty of the king's daughter, the church of Christ, without or within? Doth not David say within? Oh, remember that as they are happy which are not offended at Christ, so are they happy which are not offended at his poor church. Can the Pope and his prelates mean honestly, which make so much of the wife and so little of the husband? The church they magnify, but Christ they contemn. If this church were an honest woman, that is, Christ's wife, except they would make much of her husband Christ and his word, she would not be made much of them. When Christ and his apostles were upon the earth, who was more like to be the true church, they or the prelates, bishops, and synagogue? If a man should have followed custom, unity, antiquity, or the more part, should not Christ and his company have been cast out of the doors? Therefore bade Christ, search the scriptures. And good mother, shall the servant be above his master? Shall we look for other entertainment at the hands of the world than Christ and his dear disciples found? Who were taken in Noah's time for the church? Poor Noah and his family, or others? Who was taken for God's church in Sodom, Lot, or others? And doth not Christ say, as it was then, so shall it go now towards the coming of the Son of Man? What meaneth Christ when he said, iniquity shall have the upper hand? Doth not he tell that charity shall wax cold? And who seeth not a wonderful great lack of charity in those which would now be taken for Christ's church? All that fear God in this realm truly can tell more of this than I can write. Therefore, dear mother, receive some admonition of one of thy poor children, now going to be burned for the testimony of Jesus. Come again to God's truth, come out of Babylon, confess Christ and his true doctrine, repent that which is past, make amends by declaring thy repentance by the fruits. Remember the readings and preachings of God's prophet, the true preacher, Martin Bucer. Call to mind the threatenings of God, now something seen by thy children, Lever and others. Let the exile of Lever, Pilkington, Grindle, Haddon, Horn, Scory, Ponet, etc., something awake thee. Let the imprisonment of thy dear sons Cranmer, Ridley, and Latimer move thee. Consider the martyrdom of thy chickens, Roger, Saunders, Taylor, and now cast not away the poor admonition of me, going to be burned also, and to receive the like crown of glory with my fellows. Take to heart God's calling by us. Be not as Pharaoh was, for then will it happen unto thee as it did unto him. What is that? Hardness of heart. And what then? Destruction eternally, both of body and soul. Ah, therefore, good mother, awake, awake, repent, repent, buckle thyself, and make haste to turn to the Lord, for else it shall be more easy for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for thee. O, harden not your hearts, O, stop not your ears today in hearing God's voice, though it be by me a most unworthy messenger. O, fear the Lord, for his anger has begun to kindle. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. You know I prophesied truly to you before the sweat came. What would come if you repented not your carnal gospeling? And now I tell you before I depart hence, that the ears of men will tingle to hear the vengeance of God that will fall upon you all, both town and university, if you repent not, if you leave not your idolatry, if you turn not speedily to the Lord, if you still be ashamed of Christ's truth, which you know. O Pern, repent. O Thompson, repent. O you doctors, bachelors, and masters, repent. O mayor, alderman, and town town dwellers, repent, 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 that you may escape the near vengeance of the Lord. Rend your hearts and come apace, calling on the Lord. Let us all say, Pecavimus, we all have sinned, we have done wickedly. We have not hearkened to thy voice, O Lord. Deal not with us after our deserts, but be merciful to our iniquities, for they are great. O pardon our offenses, in thine anger remember thy mercy. Turn us unto thee, O Lord God of hosts, for the glory of thy name's sake. Spare us, and be merciful unto us. Let not the wicked people say, Where is now their God? O for thine own sake, for thy name's sake, deal mercifully with us. Turn thyself unto us, and us unto thee, and we shall praise thy name forever. If in this sort, my dearly beloved, in heart and mouth we come unto our Father, and prostrate ourselves before the throne of grace, then surely, surely we will find mercy. Then shall the Lord look merrily upon us for his mercy's sake in Christ. Then shall we hear him speak peace unto his people, for he is gracious and merciful, of great pity and compassion. He cannot be chiding forever, his anger cannot last long to the penitent. Though we weep in the morning, yet at night we shall have our sorrow to cease, for he is exorable, and hath no pleasure in the death of a sinner. He rather would our conversion and turning. O turn ye now, and convert yet once again, I humbly beseech you, and then the kingdom of heaven shall draw nigh. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, nor the heart of man is able to conceive the joys prepared for us if we repent, amend our lives, and heartily turn to the Lord. But if ye repent not, but be as you were, and go on forwards with the wicked, following the fashion of the world, the Lord will lead you on with the wicked doers. You shall perish in your wickedness, your blood will be upon your own heads, your hearts shall be with hypocrites, where shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ye shall be cast from the face of the Lord for ever and ever. Eternal shame, sorrow, woe, and misery shall be both in body and soul to you, world without end. O, therefore, write dear to me in the Lord. Turn you, repent you, repent you. Amend, amend your lives, depart from evil, do good, follow peace and pursue it. Come out from Babylon, cast off the works of darkness. Put on Christ, confess his truth. Be not ashamed of his gospel, prepare yourselves for the cross. Drink of God's cup before it comes to the dregs. And then shall I with you and for you rejoice in the day of judgment, which is at hand. And therefore prepare yourselves thereto. I heartily beseech you, and thus I take my vale and aeternum with you in this present life. Mine own dear hearts in the Lord of mercy be with us all, and give us a joyful and sure meaning in his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Out of prison in the 11th of February, anno 1555. Your own in the Lord forever, John Bradford. A letter to Lancashire and Cheshire, and especially to Manchester. To all those that profess the name and true religion of our Savior Christ in Lancashire and Cheshire, and specially abiding in Manchester and thereabouts, John Bradford, a most unworthy servant of the Lord, now not only in bonds but also condemned for the same true religion, wishes mercy and grace, peace and increase of all godliness, from God the Father of all pity, through the deserts of our Lord Jesus, by the working of the most mighty and lively Spirit of the Comforter forever. Amen. I heard it reported credibly, my dearly beloved in the Lord, that my heavenly Father hath thought it good to provide, that as I have preached his true doctrine and gospel amongst you by word, so I shall testify and confirm the same by deed. That is, I shall with you leave my life, which by his providence I first received there, for in Manchester I was born, for a seal to the doctrine I have taught with you and amongst you, so that if from henceforth you waver in the same, you have none excuse at all. I know the enemies of Christ, which exercise this cruelty upon me. I speak in respect of mine offense, which is none to them than words. Think by killing of me amongst you to affray you and others, lest they should attempt to teach Christ truly, or believe his doctrine hereafter. But I doubt, but my heavenly Father will, by my death, more confirm you in his truth forever. And therefore, I greatly rejoice to see Satan and his soldiers supplanted in their own sapience, which is plain foolishness amongst the wise indeed, that is, amongst such as have heard God's word and do follow it, for they only are counted wise to the wisdom of God our Savior. If in this sort, my dearly beloved, in heart and mouth we come unto our Father, and prostrate ourselves before the throne of his grace, then surely, surely we shall find mercy. Then shall the Lord look merrily upon us, for his mercy's sake in Christ. Then shall we hear him speak
peace unto his people, for he is gracious and merciful, of great pity and compassion. He cannot be chiding forever, his anger cannot last long to the penitent. Though we weep in the morning, yet at night we shall have our sorrow to cease. For he is exorable, and hath no pleasure in the death of a sinner. He rather would our conversion and turning. O turn ye now, and convert yet once again, I humbly beseech you, and then the kingdom of heaven shall draw nigh. The eye hath not seen, the ear hath not heard, nor the heart of man is able to conceive the joys prepared for us, if we repent, amend our lives, and heartily turn to the Lord. But if ye repent not, but be as you were, and go on forwards with the wicked, following the fashion of the world, the Lord will lead you on with wicked doers. You shall perish in your wickedness, and blood will be upon your own heads. Your parts shall be with hypocrites, where shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ye shall be cast from the face of the Lord for ever and ever. Eternal shame, sorrow, woe, and misery shall be both in body and soul to you, world without end. O, therefore, write dear to me in the Lord, turn you, repent you, amend your lives, depart from evil. Do good, follow peace, and pursue it. Come out from Babylon. Cast off the works of darkness. Put on Christ. Confess his truth. Be not ashamed of his gospel. Prepare yourselves to the cross. Drink of God's cup before it comes to the dregs. And then shall I, with you and for you, rejoice in the day of judgment, which is at hand. And therefore, prepare yourselves thereto, I heartily beseech you. And thus I take my veil in aeternum, with you, in this present life, mine own dear hearts in the Lord. The Lord of mercy be with us all, and give us a joyful and sure meaning in his kingdom. Amen. Amen. Out of prison, the 11th of February, anno 1555, your own in the Lord, forever. John Bradford. A letter to Lancashire and Cheshire, and specially to Manchester. To all those that profess the name and true religion of our Savior Christ in Lancashire and Cheshire, and specially abiding in Manchester and thereabout. John Bradford, a most unworthy servant of the Lord, now not only in bonds but also condemned for the same true religion, wisheth mercy and grace, peace and increase of all godliness from God the Father of all pity, through the deserts of our Lord Jesus Christ, by the working of the most mighty and lively Spirit, the Comforter, for ever. Amen. I heard it reported credibly, my dearly beloved in the Lord, that my heavenly Father hath thought it good to provide, that as I have preached his true doctrine and gospel amongst you by word, so I shall testify and confirm the same by deed. That is, I shall with you leave my life, which by his providence I first received there, for in Manchester was I born, for a seal to the doctrine I have taught with you and amongst you, so that, if from henceforth you waver in the same, you have none excuse at all. I know the enemies of Christ which exercise this cruelty upon me. I speak in respect of mine offense, which is none to them words. Think, by killing of me amongst you, to affray you and others, lest they should attempt to teach Christ fully, or believe his doctrine hereafter. But I doubt not, but my heavenly Father will, by my death, more confirm you in this truth forever. And therefore I greatly rejoice to see Satan and his soldiers supplanted in their own sapience, which is plain foolishness amongst the wise indeed, that is, amongst such as have heard God's word and do follow it, for they only are counted wise to the wisdom of God our Savior. Indeed, if I should simply consider my life with that which I ought to have been, and as God in his law requireth, then could I not but cry as I do, Righteous art thou, O Lord, and all thy judgments are true. For I have much grieved thee, and transgressed thy holy precepts, not only before my professing the gospel, but since also, yea, even since my coming into prison, I do not excuse, but accuse myself before God and all his church, that I have grievously offended my Lord God. I have not loved his gospel as I should have done. I have sought myself, and not simply and only his glory and my brethren's commodity. I have been too unthankful, secure, carnal, hypocritical, vainglorious, etc., all which my evils the Lord of mercy pardon me for his Christ's sake, as I hope and certainly believe he hath done for his great mercy in Christ our Redeemer. But when I consider the cause of my condemnation, I cannot but lament that I do no more rejoice than I do, for it is God's verity and truth, so that the condemnation is not a condemnation of Bradford simply, but rather a condemnation of Christ and of his truth. Radford is nothing else but an instrument in whom Christ and his doctrine are condemned. And therefore, my dearly beloved, rejoice. Rejoice and give thanks with me and for me that ever God did vouchsafe so great a benefit to our country as to choose the most unworthy, I mean myself, to be one in whom it would please him to suffer any kind of affliction, much more this violent kind of death, which I perceive is prepared for me with you for his sake. All glory and praise be given unto God our Father for his great and exceeding mercy towards me, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But perchance you will say unto me, what is the cause for which you are condemned? We here say that ye deny all presence of Christ in his holy supper, and so make it a bare sign and common bread and nothing else. My dearly beloved, what is said of me, and what will be, I cannot tell. It is told me that Pendleton is gone down to preach with you, not as he once recanted, for you all know how he hath preached contrary to that he was wont to preach afore I came amongst you, but to recant that which he hath recanted, how he will speak of me, and report before I come, when I am come, and when I am burned, I much pass not, for he that is so uncertain, and I will speak so often against himself, I cannot think he will speak well of me, except it make for his purpose and profit. But of this enough. Indeed, the chief thing which I am condemned for, as a heretic, is because I deny in the sacrament of the altar, which is not Christ's supper, but a plain perverting of it, being used as the papists now use it, to be a real, natural, and corporal presence of Christ's body and blood under the forms and accidents of bread and wine. That is, because I deny transubstantiation, which is the darling of the devil, and daughter and heir to Antichrist religion, whereby the Mass is maintained, Christ's supper perverted, his sacrifice and cross imperfected, his priesthood destroyed, the ministry taken away, repentance repelled, and all true godliness abandoned. In the supper of our Lord, or sacrament of Christ's body and blood, I confess and believe that there is a true and very presence of the whole Christ, God and man, to the faith of the receiver, but not of the stander by and looker on, as there is a very true presence of bread and wine to the senses of him that is partaker thereof. This faith, this doctrine, which consenteth with the word of God, and with the true testimony of Christ's church, which the popish church doth persecute, will I not forsake. And therefore I am condemned as a heretic, and shall be burned. But, my dearly beloved, this truth, which I have been taught, and you have received, I believed, and do believe, and therein give my life, I hope in God shall never be burned, bound, or overcome, but shall triumph, have victory, and be at liberty, maugre the head of all God's adversaries, for there is no counsel against the Lord, nor can any device of man be able to defeat the verity of any other than such as be children of unbelief, which have no love to the truth, and therefore are given up to believe lies, from which plague the Lord of mercy deliver you, and all the realm, my dear hearts in the Lord, I humbly beseech his mercy. Amen. And to the end you might be delivered from this plague, right dear to me in the Lord, I shall, for my farewell with you forever in this present life, heartily desire you all, in the bowels and blood of our most merciful Savior, Jesus Christ, to attend unto these things, which I shall now shortly write unto you out of the Holy Scripture of the Lord. You know a heavy plague, or rather plagues, of God has fallen upon us, in taking away our good King and true religion, God's true prophets and ministers, etc., and setting over us such as seek not the Lord after knowledge, whose endeavors God prospereth and wonderfully to the trial of many, that his people may both better know themselves and be known. Now the cause hereof is our iniquities and grievous sin. We did not know the time of our visitation. We were unthankful to God. We contemned the gospel and carnally abused it, to serve our hypocrisy, our vainglory, our viciousness, avarice, idleness, security, etc. Long did the Lord linger and tarry to have shown mercy upon us, but we were ever the longer the worse. Therefore, most justly hath God dealt with us and dealeth with us. Yea, yet we may see that his justice is tempered with much mercy, whereto let us attribute that we are not utterly consumed. For if the Lord should deal with us after our deserts, alas, how could we abide it? In his anger, therefore, seeing he doth remember his mercy undeserved, yea, undesired on our behalf, let us take occasion, the more speedily, to go out to meet him, not with force of arms, for we are not so able to withstand him, much less to prevail against him, but to beseech him to be merciful unto us, and according to his wonted mercy to deal with us. Let us arise with David and say, Ne interest in judicium cum servo tuo, etc., i.e., do not enter not into judgment with thy servant, O Lord, for in thy sight no flesh living shall be justified. Let us send ambassadors with the centurion, and say, Lord, we are not worthy to come ourselves unto thee. Speak the word, and we shall have peace. Let us penitently, with the publican, look down on the earth, knock our hard heads to burst them, and cry out, O God, be merciful unto us, wretched sinners. Let us, with the lost son, return and say, O Father, we have sinned against heaven and earth, and before thee we are unworthy to be called thy children. Let us, I say, do on this sort, that is, heartily repent us of our former evil life and unthankful gospeling past, convert and turn to God with our whole hearts, hoping in his great mercy through Christ, and heartily calling upon his holy name. And then, undoubtedly, we shall find and feel otherwise than yet we feel, both inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly, we shall feel peace of conscience between God and us, which peace passeth all understanding. And outwardly, we shall feel much mitigation of these miseries, if not an utter taking of them away. Therefore, my dearly beloved in the Lord, I, your poorest brother now departing to the Lord, for my vale in aeternum, for this present life, pray you, beseech you, and even from the very bottom of my heart, for all the mercies of God in Christ, showed unto you, most earnestly beg and crave of you out of prison, as often out of your pulpits I have done, that you will repent you, leave your wicked and evil life, be sorry for your offenses, and turn to the Lord, whose arms are wide open to receive and embrace you, whose stretched out hand to strike to death stayeth, that he may show mercy upon you. For he is the Lord of mercy, and God of all comfort. He will not the death of a sinner, but rather that ye should return, convert, and amend. He hath no pleasure in the destruction of men. His long-suffering draweth to repentance before the time of vengeance and the day of wrath, which is at hand, doth come. Now is the axe laid to the root of the tree, utterly to destroy the impenitent. Now is the fire gone out before the face of the Lord, and who is able to quench it? Oh, therefore repent you, it is enough to have lived as we have done. It is enough to have played the wanton gospelers, the proud Protestants, hypocritical and false Christians, as alas we have done. Now the Lord speaketh to us in mercy and grace. Oh, turn before he speaketh in wrath. Yet is there mercy with the Lord, and plenteous redemption. Yet he hath not forgotten to show mercy to them that call upon him. Oh, then call upon him while he may be found, for he is rich in mercy and plentiful to all them that call upon him, so that he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If your sins be as red as scarlet, the Lord saith, he will make them as white as snow. He hath sworn, and never will repent him thereof, that he will never remember our iniquities. But as he is good, faithful, and true, so will he be our God, and we shall be his people. His law will he write in our hearts, and engraft in our minds, and never will he have in mind our unrighteousness. Therefore, my dear hearts in the Lord, turn you to the Lord your Father, to the Lord your Savior, to the Lord your Comforter. Oh, why do you stop your ears and harden your hearts today, when you hear his voice, by me your poorest brother? Oh, forget not how the Lord hath showed himself true, and me his true preacher, by bringing to pass these plagues, which at my mouth you oft heard before they came to pass, especially when I treated of Noah's flood, and when I preached of the 22nd chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel on St. Stephen's Day, the last time I was with you. And now by me the Lord sendeth you word, dear countrymen, that if you will go on forward in your impenitency, carnality, hypocrisy, idolatry, covetousness, swearing, gluttony, drunkenness, whoredom, etc., wherewith, alas, alas, our country floweth, if, I say, you will not turn and leave off, seeing me now burned amongst you, to assure you on all sides how God seeketh you, and is sorry to do you hurt, to plague you, to destroy you, to take vengeance upon you. Oh, your blood will be upon your own heads. You have been warned, and warned again, by me in preaching, and by me in burning. And as I said before, I say again, my dear hearts and darlings in the Lord, turn you, repent you, cease from doing evil, study to do well, away with idolatry, flee the Romish god and services, leave off from swearing, cut off carnality, abandon avarice, drive away drunkenness, fly from fornication and flattery, murder and malice, destroy deceitfulness, and cast away all the works of darkness. put on pity and godliness, serve God after his word and not after custom. Use your tongues to glorify God by prayer, thanksgiving, and confession of his truth, etc. Be spiritual, and by the Spirit mortify carnal affections. Be sober, holy, true, loving, gentle, merciful, and then shall the Lord's wrath cease, not for this our doing's sake, but for his mercy's sake. Go to, therefore, good countrymen, take this counsel of the Lord, by me now sent unto you as the Lord's counsel, and not as mine, that in the day of judgment I may rejoice with you and for you, the which thing I heartily desire, and not to be a witness against you. My blood will cry for vengeance, as against the papists, God's enemies, whom I beseech God, if it be his will, heartily to forgive, yea, even them which put me to death, and are the causers thereof, for they know not what they do. So will my blood cry for vengeance against you, my dearly beloved in the Lord, if you repent not, amend not, and turn not unto the Lord. Turn unto the Lord yet once more, I heartily beseech thee, thou Manchester, thou Ashton-under-Lyne, thou Bolton, Bury, Wigan, Liverpool, Mottram, Stockport, Winsley, Eccles, Preston, Middleton, Radcliffe, and thou city of Westchester, where I have truly taught and preached the word of God. Turn, I say, unto you all, and to all the inhabitants thereabout, unto the Lord our God, and he will turn unto you. He will say unto his angel, it is enough, put up the sword. The which thing that he will do, I humbly beseech his goodness, for the precious blood's sake of his dear Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Ah, good brethren, take in good part these my last words unto every one of you. Pardon me mine offenses and negligences in behavior amongst you. The Lord of mercy pardon us all our offenses, for our Savior Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Out of prison, ready to come to you, the 11th of February, anno 1555. To the town of Walden. To the faithful and such as profess the true doctrine of our Savior Jesus Christ, dwelling at Walden and thereabouts, John Bradford, a most unworthy servant of the Lord, now in bands and condemned for the same true doctrine, wisheth grace, mercy, and peace, with the increase of all godliness and knowledge and living, from God the Father of all comfort, through the deserts of our alone and full Redeemer, Jesus Christ, by the mighty workings of the most Holy Spirit, the Comforter, forever. Amen. When I remember how that by the providence and grace of God I have been a man, by whom it hath pleased him, through my ministry, to call you to repentance and amendment of life, something effectually, as it seemed, and to sow amongst you his true doctrine and religion, lest that by my affliction and storms now arisen to try the faithful, and to conform them like to the image of the Son of God, into whose company we are called, you might be faint-hearted. I could not but, out of prison secretly, for my keepers may not know that I have pen and ink, write unto you a signification of the desire I have, that you should not only be more confirmed in the doctrine I have taught amongst you, which I take upon my death as I shall answer at the day of doom. I am persuaded to be God's assured, infallible, and plain truth, but also should, after your vocation, avow the same by confession, profession, and living. I have not taught you, my dearly beloved in the Lord, fables, tales, or untruths, but I have taught you the verity, as now by my blood, gladly, praised be God, therefore, I do seal the same. Indeed, to confess the truth unto you, and to all the Church of Christ, I do not think of myself, but that I have most justly deserved, not only this kind, but also all kinds of death, and that eternally, for mine hypocrisy, vainglory, uncleanness, self-love, covetousness, idleness, unthankfulness, and carnal professing of God's holy gospel, living therein not so purely, lovingly, and painfully as I should have done. The Lord of mercy, for the blood's sake of Christ, pardon me, as I hope, yea, I certainly believe he hath done, for his holy name's sake, through Christ. But, my dearly beloved, you and all the whole world may see and easily perceive that the prelates persecute in me another thing, that mine iniquities, even Christ himself, Christ's verity and truth, because I cannot, dare not, nor will not confess transubstantiation, and how that wicked men, yea, mice and dogs, eating the sacrament which they term of the altar, thereby overthrowing Christ's holy supper utterly, do eat Christ's natural and real body, born of the Virgin Mary. To believe and confess as God's word teacheth, the primitive church believed, and all the Catholic and good holy fathers taught, 500 years at the least after Christ, that in the supper of the Lord, which the Mass overthroweth, as it doth Christ's priesthood, sacrifice, death, and passion, the ministry of his word, true faith, repentance, and all godliness, whole Christ, God and man, is present by grace to the faith of the receivers, not of the standers-by and lookers-on, as bread and wine is to their senses, will not serve. And therefore I am condemned and shall be burned out of hand as a heretic. Wherefore I heartily thank my Lord God, that I will and doth vouch me worthy to be an instrument in whom he himself doth suffer. For you see my affliction, and death is not simple, simply because I have deserved no less, but much more at his hands in justice, but rather because I confess his verity and truth, and am not afraid, through his gift, that to do, that you also might be confirmed in his truth. Therefore, my dearly beloved, I heartily do pray you, and so many as unfeignedly love me in God, to give, with me and for me, most hearty thanks to our Heavenly Father, through our sweet Savior Jesus Christ, for this his exceeding great mercy towards me, and you also, that your faith waver not from the doctrine I have taught, and ye have received. For what can you desire more to assure your consciences of the verity taught by your preachers than their own lives? Go, therefore, my dear hearts in the Lord, waver not in Christ's religion truly taught you, and set forth in King Edward's days. Never shall the enemies be able to burn it, and prison it, and keep it in bonds. Us they may prison, they may bind and burn as they do, and will do, so long as it shall please the Lord. But our cause, religion, and doctrine, which we confess, they shall never be able to vanquish and put away. Their idolatry and popish religion shall never be built in the consciences of men that love God's truth. As for those that love not God's truth, that have no pleasure to walk in the ways of the Lord, over those, I say, the devil shall prevail, for God will give them strong illusions to believe lies. Therefore, dear brethren and sisters in the Lord, I humbly beseech you and pray you in the bowels and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now going to the death for the testimony of Jesus, as oftentimes I have done before this present, out of your pulpit, that you would live the Lord's truth. Love, I say, to live it, and frame your lives thereafter. Alas, you know the cause of all these plagues fallen upon us, and of the success which God's adversaries have daily, is for our not loving God's word. You know how that we were but gospelers in lips and not in life. We were carnal, concupiscentious, idle, unthankful, unclean, covetous, arrogant, dissemblers, crafty, subtle, malicious, false, backbiters, etc., and even glutted with God's word. Yea, we loathed it, as did the Israelites the manna in the wilderness. And therefore, as to them the Lord's wrath waxed hot, so doth it unto us, so that there is no remedy but that, for it is better late to turn than never to turn. We confess our faults, even from the bottom of our hearts, and with hearty repentance, which God works in us all for his mercy's sake. We run unto the Lord our God, who is execrable, merciful, and sorry for the evil poured out upon us, and cry unto him with Daniel, saying, we have sinned grievously, O Lord, against thy majesty. We have heaped iniquity upon iniquity, the measure of our transgressions floweth over, so that justly are thy vengeance and wrath fallen upon us. For we are very miserable, we have contemned thy long-suffering, we have not hearkened to thy voice. When thou hast called us by preachers, we hardened our hearts, and therefore, now deserve that thou send thy curse hereupon to harden our hearts also, that we should henceforth have eyes and see not, ears and hear not, hearts and understand not, lest we should convert and be saved. O, be merciful unto us, spare us, good Lord, and all thy people, whom thou hast dearly bought. Let not thine enemies triumph altogether, and always against thee, for then will they be puffed up. Look down and behold the pitiful complaint of the poor. Let the sorrowful sighing of the simple come in thy sight, and be not angry with us forever. Turn us, O Lord God of hosts, unto thee, and turn thee unto us, that thou mayest be justified in thy sweet sentences, and overcome when thou art judged, as now thou art of our adversaries. For they say, where is their God? Can God deliver them now? Can their gospel serve them? O Lord, how long? For the glory of thy name and for thy honor's sake, in the bowels and blood of Jesus Christ, we humbly beseech thee, come help us, for we are very miserable. On this sort, I say, dearly beloved, let us publicly and privately bewail our sins, so that hereto we join ceasing from willfulness and sin of purpose. For else the Lord heareth not our prayers, as David saith. And in St. John it is written, the impenitent sinners God heareth not. Now impenitent are they which purpose not to amend their lives, as, for example, not only such as follow still their pleasures, uncleanness, carnality, but those also which, for fear or favor of men, do against their consciences, consent to the Romish rags, and resort to the rotten religion, communicating in service and ceremonies with the papists, thereby declaring themselves to love more the word of the world than God, to fear man more than Christ, to dread more the loss of temporal things than eternal, in whom it is evident that the love of God abideth not. For he that loveth the world hath not God's word abiding in him, saith St. John. Therefore, my dear hearts, and dear again in the Lord, remember what you have professed, Christ's religion and name, and the renouncing of the devil, sin, and the world. Remember that, before you learned ABC, your lesson was Christ's cross. Forget not that Christ will have no disciples, but such as will promise to deny themselves and take up their cross. Mark, take it up, and follow him, and not the multitude, custom, etc. Consider for God's sake that if we gather not with Christ, we scatter abroad. What should it profit a man to win the whole world and lose his own soul? We must not forget that this life is a wilderness and not a paradise. Here is not our home. We are now in warfare. We must needs fight, or else be taken prisoners. Of all things we have in this life, we shall carry nothing with us. If Christ be our captain, we must follow him as soldiers. If we keep company with him in affliction, we shall be sure of his society and glory. If we forsake not him in affliction, if we forsake not him, he will never forsake us. If we confess him, he will confess us. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we be ashamed of him, he will be ashamed of us. Wherefore, as he forsook his Father and heaven and all things to come to us, let us forsake all things and come to him, being sure and most certain that we shall not lose thereby. Your children shall find and feel it double, yea, treble, whatsoever you lose for God's sake, and you shall find and feel peace of conscience and friendship with God, which is more worth than all the goods of the world. My dear beloved, therefore, for the Lord's sake, consider these things which I now write unto you of love, for my vale, and the last farewell forever in this present life. Turn to the Lord, repent you of your evil and unthankful life, declare repentance by the fruits. Take time while ye have it. Come to the Lord while he calleth you. Run into his lap, while his arms be open to embrace you. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while time is convenient. Forsake and flee from all evil, both in religion and in the rest of your life and conversation. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and praise God in the day of his visitation. Oh, come again, you strange children, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. Convert and turn to me, and I will turn unto you. Why, will ye needs perish? As sure as I live, sweareth the Lord, I will not your death. Turn therefore unto me. Can a woman forget the child of her womb? If she should, yet will I not forget you, saith the Lord God. I am he which put away your sins for mine own sake. Oh, then, dear friends, turn, I say, unto your dearest Father. Cast not these sweet and loving words to the ground, and at your tail. For the Lord watcheth on his words to perform it, which is in two sorts. To them that lay it up in their hearts and believe it, will he pay all in eternal joy and comfort. But to them that cast it at their backs and will forget it, to them, I say, will he pour out indignation and eternal shame. Wherefore, I heartily yet once more beseech and pray you, and every of you, not to contemn this poor and simple exhortation, which now, out of prison, I make unto you, or rather the Lord by me. Loath would I be to be a witness against you in this last day, as of truth I must be, if ye repent not, if ye love not the God's gospel, yea, if ye love it not. Therefore, to conclude, repent, love God's gospel, live in it all your conversation, so shall God's name be praised, his plagues be mitigated, his people comforted, and his enemies be ashamed. Grant all this, thou gracious Lord God, to every one of us, for thy dear Son's sake, our Savior Jesus Christ, to whom with thee and the Holy Ghost be eternal glory forever and ever. Amen. the 12th of February, anno 1555, by the bondman of our Lord and your poor afflicted brother, John Bradford.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.